All right. Good morning, everybody. All right. I'm going to start this morning by reading Psalm 48. You want to gather around, hang with somebody, grab a patch of concrete. I'm going to read this and then we'll pray together, okay? Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Anybody believe that today? In the city of our God is holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled, they came on together. And as soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there. Anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. And as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple, and as your name, O God, so the praise reaches to the end of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go throughout her citadels that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you just for the beautiful weather. As we pray every week, we thank you for the beautiful family that you continue to grow each week. Met new folks today. Just thank you for their presence and being here. But most of all, God, we thank you for your presence. You cannot be around this family, this group of people, and not sense the spirit of you, God. We believe that. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for the church gathering together this morning. We thank you for what you're doing out here, God. And we just pray, as we prayed earlier, we prayed over this crowd, those that were yet to come this morning, we prayed, whether we are yet to start a relationship with you, and that begins today as our prayer, or we've been going on for 50 years in relationship with you, we pray that you draw us closer to you today in truth and in spirit. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're back in the Psalms this week. If you have been around any time, we've been in the Psalms now, it seems like, for quite a while. We've talked about that if we continue to go Psalm by Psalm, it'll probably be another 3 years before we finish. It seems like it's been that long, but it's been good. And you go in the Psalms, and one of the things that we love to see is the honesty of most of the psalmists. They will write in certain ways of in one verse saying, God, where are you? Where have you gone? And we've said that many times, that all of us out here have questioned and wondered that same thing. God, where are you in the midst of this? And then a few verses later, you say, almost the psalmist of having a reality check of, oh yeah, there you are, God, and you'll be my God and my God forever. And that's what happens today. And so the city of the nation of Israel is talking about this great city of God and talking about how God will be their God forever. And I couldn't help but think, as I read the psalm, Daryl asked this morning, what are you teaching on? And I said a little bit of Psalm 48, just sprinkled in with some other thoughts, because I can't help but think of the resurrection today. I know last week was Easter, but I want to say it again. Happy Easter that the tomb is still empty. We forget to celebrate that week after week. But Jesse did such a good job, and if you haven't seen Jesse today, he might be easily missed. He's over here, this pale, bare-faced man over here. Is Jesse, in case you missed him and wondering where he's at today. But as he talked last week, he talked about that there are many resurrections that need to take place, that we celebrate this grand resurrection of Jesus, but that really all of these rescues in life are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we worship this awesome, this awe-inspiring God. And so I couldn't help but think, as I read this psalm and I was thinking about God being our God, I can't help but think about the last few weeks. If you'll allow me the privilege, I want to recap just a little bit some thoughts that God gave me this week. Palm Sunday. Think about that. More 3 weeks ago, right? 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago before today. And so we think about this Palm Sunday and we think about Jesus' ride, right? We think about Jesus riding to the city, and we talked about it in this way, that only in God's math, only in God's authoring of a story, could a ride into the city of impending death ever be called the triumphal entry, right? You remember we talked about that if you were here this week. And as we talked about that, we talked about the ride into the city and that there was such a holiness in that moment. But even in the false praise, is that moment, and as Jesus sits atop of this donkey and rides into the city, the holy city of Jerusalem, as he rides in, you could see the scene unfold, right? As we read that, you could see that. You could see that the people were saying, wait a minute, there's something so different about this guy that we're going to take our cloaks off and we're going to lay them on the ground. And then the moment that happens of, wait a minute, he's still riding and there's nothing for the donkey to ride on, that we're going to go and cut some of these branches and we're going to lay them down. And you remember what they said over and over and over, Hosanna, Hosanna. And what that means is save us now. Like we believe, right? But we talked about the disappointment that was in their mind to find that he was not the Savior necessarily that they wanted, at least not in the way that they thought. They said, save us now. But just in a short week later, the chance of Hosanna would turn to what? Crucify. And so we see this, we saw that, and then thinking about Good Friday and thinking about the cross of Jesus Christ, and then thinking of a few short days later, the empty tomb that exists to this day. There is no body. He's still alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. And this, my friends, is what he's building out here. If you look around, look, take a look. This is the kingdom of God. People from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, racially, generationally, economically, all of these things, even belief systems that are out here. Jesus is building his kingdom out here, right? And this is all possible because of the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. We can't help but to think about that even on a day like today, as many have put away the Easter stories. We think about the empty tomb today. God led me in an unusual way, and I said this a little bit last week, and Stephen, maybe you can relate, Charlie, those that have been in ministry and staff positions and thinking about teaching on a Sunday morning. If I am completely honest with you, my two least favorite Sundays to teach in all year is Christmas and Easter. That's weird, isn't it? Because those are the cornerstone. That's the birth of Jesus and then the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And honestly, because there's something in me that wells up that thinks, I got to do something to make that story good. Are you kidding me? That's the most amazing story ever told, that God in the flesh was born, lived a perfect and sinless life, and died on a cross in my place, put in a tomb that he wasn't going to need very long, and he rose from the dead. That's amazing. But there's this pressure and there's this weight to teach that. And God gave me the unusual thought last week of speaking of disappointments. And I thought, God, that's really weird for an Easter Sunday. You know, I'm already kind of nervous and just this tension that's within inside of me thinking about teaching on Easter. And you want me to teach about disappointments. And it took us to the disappointments that we saw in this Hosanna moment, this Palm Sunday, the Good Friday, that Israel, we saw their disappointment because they thought and knew for sure that someone was going to come and save them from Roman rule. They had it in their mind. Yes, we want a Savior. Yes, Hosanna, but we want you to save us this way. And then think about the 11, right? Judas had already gone his way. We think about the 11 and the other followers that some are named and some are not, that are disciples of Jesus, and them saying, man, I left everything, literally. I left my nets on the Sea of Galilee. I walked away from everything to follow this dude, and now he's dead? He's gone? Hung on a cross? Are they coming for me next? That's why they scattered. It wasn't something of, we don't believe Jesus who he said he was anymore. They were scared to death. My cross is next. Remember, even thinking back, he told us, pick up my cross daily. I'm not ready for that. It was disappointment that he wasn't the Savior that they thought he was going to be. And I promise I'll get back to Psalm 48 here in a minute, but I'm still thinking in line of resurrection. We talked about that our rescue and our restoration was being paid for in that very resurrection. But I want to talk to a crowd this morning that, if I'm honest, I'll say this and I'll put myself in the boat and paddle with you. that I believe many of us are still living in Palm Sunday when we've been called forth to resurrection. And what I mean by that is some of us are sitting right now or standing around in this circle and we're saying, I kind of believe Jesus was who he said he was, but Hosanna, Hosanna, save me now, but save me this way. You see, I need you to come through and give me a place to live. I need you to come through and give me a job. I need you to fix my marriage. I need you to take this addiction away. And if you'll save me that way, then I'll bow the knee. Trying to come to God on our own terms. Hosanna, save me. Save me now, but save me the way that I want you to. You see, we want to come to God on our own terms and not His, and it doesn't work that way. In fact, it would be just as simple as this. Where's Brantley this morning? Brantley, you out there? Brantley's he's already a dad, but he's a new dad. He's got Kellen Paget, right? That's your son. Guys, I have caught bass fish bigger than Kellen Paget. He came just a little early in this world, 5 pounds, what, 11 ounces? 12 ounces. He's lost a little bit of that, as babies do. And I sit there and I hold this baby in the hospital. And I'll be honest, that's a freaky moment. You know I love you guys to do that. And I pray over Kellen, but a 5 pound, 12 ounce baby. Here is the illustration that God gave me. As I'm looking at this precious baby boy, this newest addition to our family out here, I thought about this. I thought about as smart as Kellen will be one day, trying to figure and navigate this life in Jesus our own way, in our own terms of saying, Hosanna, save me now, but save me the way I want you to, would be like putting sweet, smart Kellen on the ground here. And has anybody ever been to a toy shop and you've seen those puzzles that honestly you've got to be a genius to put together? I'm talking 3D White House, like with the gunners on top, the flag, all of this 3D puzzles, like 1 million pieces, right? I couldn't put this puzzle together. But it would be like taking young Kellen and laying him on the ground and saying, now put this together. Figure this out. When we try to navigate this world without Jesus truly being our Savior, truly being our God, as this psalm talks about, it's simply like sitting down and trying to do something we were never meant to have the mental capacity to do. We can't do it. It would even be insane to take one of those little 8-piece puzzles that, let's be honest, probably anybody can put together and put it there before Kellen. He cannot put the thing together because it doesn't make sense. And some of us are still living life that way under Palm Sunday and thinking, yeah, maybe even a little bit more. I recognize he is something. Jesus is something that these people are telling me about, but I just can't quite make it make sense. And we're trying to put the puzzle together ourselves, and we were never meant to do that. I want to take some of the pressure off of you this morning. You ask, why do we do this? We get that question all the time. It's to tell you the love story you've been invited into is that you don't have to figure it all out on your own. You can't. The pressure's off. I want to tell you, apart from Jesus, this life will not make sense. You cannot make all of the pieces fit. It will not work. Nothing will fit. Nothing will make sense. But so many of us are living here daily. I'm going to try to make it work. If I could just do this, I want to relieve some of the pressure. Oh man, can I tell you the pressure that religion sometimes puts on us? I want you to know, some of you are sitting right here. If I could just take these 7 steps, you even got them in your note. Look, this is how organized I am sometimes. I carry around a notebook in my wallet, okay? I know I have a phone that'll take notes. I got an iPad. I like writing stuff down. My hope is that I've got a lot of these left over and I leave them for my kids one day and they can look over this stuff and they say, boy, Dad was spot on with that one. Then they can run to another one and say, Dad was nuts on that one. That doesn't make any sense. But that's for them to decide and God to lead. But I write stuff down, so I like to have a plan. But let me tell you, if your plan is a 7-step process to being a better you, if I can just memorize this many scriptures, if I can just read my Bible this much, if I can just help enough little old ladies across the street, everything will work out. Listen to me. He's not going to let that puzzle work. It might work for a short time. It might work to make you feel better, but it will not make everything make sense. Just like Israel on that Palm Sunday, Hosanna, save me now. Just like the 11 disciples that reach a point where Jesus is now dead and laid in a tomb, we often find ourselves disappointed that Jesus hasn't quite come through or been who we thought he was going to be. Hosanna, save me now, but do it this way. Now here's where Psalm 48 comes in. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and don't tune this out, because your restoration and rescue is at stake. If you've never gotten this, this is the key. Now, this was to the nation of Israel singing out to God, but I'm going to make this personal. I believe God will allow us to do that in this moment. And in Psalm 48:14, where there are ours and us and we, I want to replace those with mine, me. Listen to this. If that puzzle thing just really hits with you and you say, man, that's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to make all this work. I've been trying to make all the pieces fit. I've been trying to manufacture this religion. And now I hear that it's all about relationship. Don't tune this out. Psalm 48:14, in a more personal way, says this: my God is my God forever and ever. He will guide me forever. Now there is where life begins to make sense. Do you realize this, that if you look on the beginning pages of your Bible, that that is what you were created for? The garden, Eden, perfection. You realize this, right? That sin was to never be. That was not part of the plan. God knew that it would happen. We know that. And he still already had a plan. That's beautiful. But do you know that his desire was for relationship? Do you know what kind of relationship he had with Adam and Eve? It says that he liked to take afternoon walks in the cool with Adam and Eve. So he desired for me and you. And sin entered the picture, and we get this picture. I don't know about you, but Jesse and I have talked about this. Our good friend Chris Rowe does an amazing job teaching about this. But we get the flannel graph version of Jesus. If you don't know what flannel graph, it's the pictures of Jesus, right? You know, pasty, sissy Jesus on a board most of the time, and he's standing there with like a lamb over his shoulder or something, right? But we get this picture of when sin happens, that God is so furious and so mad that he kicks us out of the garden. And it says he even, but Keith, it even says that he put angels with flaming swords and wouldn't let them in. You know why? Because the tree of life was there. If we would have eaten from the tree of life and continually been in that state and lived forever, he didn't want us to live forever in that state. He wanted to redeem us, to restore us, to rescue us through Jesus. It was love. Said, I've got a better way. You chose this way, but I've got a better way. That is everything. He brings us back to this garden state, right? That is a beautiful testimony of rescue and restoration. He wants to make that back again. That is what the whole picture of this thing is. If you read at the end of your Bible, you get to Revelation, it says, behold, I am making all things new. He's setting everything right, bringing us back. Everything that was lost in the fall, enemy will be no more. There won't even be a temptation to sin. Can you imagine that? The addiction that plagues you now will be no more temptation for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Can you imagine even living life in that way? There's moments where we have such a clear picture of God's grace and mercy, but when our faith will be sight, and we see that all things have been made new and restoration happens in full, man, it's going to be awesome. So why would I share all that on the Sunday after Easter? Why would I take us back to Palm Sunday? One, I feel a lot are still living in that moment. Yeah, save me, but I want you to save me this way. Maybe it's time to let that go. Just like laying down a cloak or a palm branch of just saying, how about save me your way? How about save me the way you want? How about you do the work and I just have faith in that you're going to take care of me and not leave me and forsake me as your word says? And then maybe the last part of 48:14 will ring true. That I may tell the next generation. You see, I want you to look around this morning. There's a lot of young people. We even got a youth group that came to volunteer their time. You know why they did that? That's not to make themselves feel good about coming dipping food. They love Jesus and they love you. They wanted to serve you today. And so we thank them for that. But there's young people here. There's our young folks that are here every week. Do you know that not just your restoration is at stake, but also theirs? Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them, quit going to God in that way of saying, save me and save me now and save me in this way. Just go to Him and let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your God so that we can tell the next generation. I want to tell you this in closing. You may not look at it this way, and I pray that one day you do, but you have been invited into an amazing story. An epic story. One in which there is a Savior for everything you've ever done. I say this all the time, and God has given us this statement out here. God is teaching me this statement. I want everybody to look this way. If you're one of our regulars, you have taught me this. And it doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. That there is grace available for that. Man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful that that is the redemption and restoration that Jesus always was intended to rescue us into. That's a great story. But you get to be a part of that and inviting other people into that story. That's what this psalm is about, that you, our God, will be our God forever. You will always be our God. Forever and ever, you will be our God. And that we may tell the next generation. I want to tell you, sometimes I hear stories on the news. One I heard not too long ago, y'all may have heard this, that a guy was jogging and a mountain lion attacked him. Y'all hear that story? One, probably God's way of telling me he shouldn't have been jogging. I don't know, maybe. He got a car. He wouldn't have jumped in the car. But he was attacked by a mountain lion and he was jogging. I believe they call it jogging, right? Jogging. And he was attacked by a mountain lion and he killed him with his bare hands. Did y'all hear that story? That's amazing, right? But you hear these other stories of people going out and going hiking. Jesse had a connection not too long ago hiking and some things happened and was lost. Man, can you imagine going somewhere where you've never been before? I mean, somewhere massive. I'm not talking about like Taney Hill State Park or something. Like, we could probably find our way back, right? There's enough breadcrumbs in our minds that we could say, oh, yeah, I need to take a left. Boom, I'm back at that, I don't know, ice cream shop. Found my way. Just followed my nose. But can you imagine being put out in the wild, sure enough, like in Alaska wild, like where there are things that will eat you, man. Like eat you and poop you out for breakfast, right? Can you imagine going out there on your own with no training, no sense of direction, and just say, hey, man, best of luck. Watch out for the bears. Right? But is there not more confidence when you enter into that scenario and you say, but we got this God that loves you, that cares for you. In fact, if it is needed, this guy would die for you. In fact, in a weird sense, he already has. That is life. We are in this dangerous war zone that we call Earth. There is a real enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We're told about him, but we have one that is greater than him, and he is willing to be our God. I can't tell you what that means for you this morning, but here's two scenarios. Everybody listen this way. You can either be like the child that's a newborn that sits down with this million-piece puzzle and try to figure it out on your own. And by the way, I want to tell you how that one ends. You won't. It just won't happen. It's not going to make sense. You were never made to have life without relationship with God. Think about that. He created you for relationship, an intimate relationship, and then He made a way. And it's through Jesus. So the one scenario is you can sit with a million puzzle pieces and try all you want. Use all your smarts, you use all your things to put God in a box or religion and do all these things and craft and make it work and come up with a system that makes sense in your mind. All of the, you can try that. That's fine. It's not going to work. It's not going to bring happiness. It's not going to bring joy or fulfillment. Or you can simply say this today. God, I don't know what this looks like for me, but in Jesus' name, will you be my God? Like this guy's talking about, like Holy Spirit, you're talking about, will you be my God and just lead me into uncharted territory and you lead the way and He's already died for you. I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose that other one. And I'll have to choose it again tomorrow, not to affect my salvation, but I'll have to choose it again the next day to every day. God, would you just guide me? I want to share this in just a closing thing before I pray. God gave me something through a man I love his teaching, John Eldridge, and he prayed this prayer this week, and it's meant the world to me. When he wakes up, he prays, "Jesus, I give you everyone and everything." That pretty much covers your day, right? Everything that I encounter today and everyone, even my family, I give them back to you. My friends, I give them back to you. My people that I'll meet, I give them back to you. Jesus, I give you everything and everyone. Jesus, will you be my guide? That's what that prayer is. Will you pray with me this morning? Bow your heads, close your eyes. I feel led to ask in this way this morning. I don't normally do this. There's a jet over our head. Sounds really loud. That's not what I felt led to ask. I just felt led to say it. Pointing out the obvious. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, I want you just for a moment, this isn't, you know me, I'm not going to ask you to do some crazy dance or walk an aisle or any of that stuff. This is just you and God to do business. Because sometimes it's just tough to do that. Life happens. The great theologian Ferris Bueller once said that life happens pretty fast sometimes. Something about if you don't stop and look around, you could miss it. But life is fast. I want you just to think right now. Just do as the psalmist says, be still and know that he is God. In all seriousness, would you just ask him this question? It's a bold question. Because if you ask it in the manner which he's leading of saying, yes, I'm going to answer yes to this, God. Whatever your answer is for me, the answer is yes, I'll follow through. God, how do you want to be my guide today? Now, some of you, that's going to hit on hearts that have never received the grace and the mercy of Jesus. You're still trying to figure it out on your own. But Jesus is available. He is there. He's already died in your place. It's already been forgiven, already paid in full. We say it around here that you have a seat at the table, but you have a paid seat at the table. He will guide you to your spot with your name written on it. It's beautiful. If that's you today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, would you say yes to him being your God in that way through Jesus' cross and his grace and mercy? Would you accept that forgiveness? And there's some that already have. Would you let him be your guide in the day to day? Jesus, that prayer, I give you everything and everyone today. Just guide me. The answer is yes, I'll follow. And there's some here this morning that aren't quite ready to say, yes, I want him to be my guide all the time, but something's stirring, man. We believe that's not just a conscience. We believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking. And so if that's you this morning, if something is stirring on the inside and you just aren't quite sure, just simply pray this, God, would you show me how you want to be my God? And then follow him. Man, if a God that created everything cares enough to speak to you personally, you know what I'm talking about? Not necessarily an audible voice, but just something inside of you, man. You know it. You know it to be true. He cares enough. He created everything, and yet he desires an intimate relationship with you. Go and read the first pages of your Bible. That is the relationship he wants. He's made a way for it. You just simply say, yeah, I'm going to follow you in that. I just want to pray over you. If you, that's anything that God stirs that you need to speak to somebody else, there's plenty of people here that can do that. Go to somebody you love and trust. It does not have to be me. I'd be honored to, but go to a friend. Hey, I need to know more about God being my guide through this thing. I want to know more about Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for today. My heart is filled with joy just by being with your people, and so thank you for that. Thank you for our guests today and just how beautifully they've served us. Well done for them and just their heart. God, I pray that it's been a blessing for them too as they go back. And so, God, we just we simply pray that with each and every person here, start with me, help me, God, just to let you be my guide, that I don't have to figure it out. And when the pressure comes, when the enemy comes about, this is all on you, man. You got to figure this out. Help me just to come to you, say, nope, Jesus, I give you everything and everyone. You be my God. Start with me in that. Father, for those that are here this morning that don't know you, that have never experienced the grace of Jesus, would you start being their guide today by simply inviting them in? Your Holy Spirit, continue to speak, and them have the willingness to say, yes, Yes, you'll be my God. In Jesus' name, you'll be my God. Father, for maybe those that have religion as their God and saying, I just got to do this. I got to be better. I got to try harder. Will you help us to stop? It's not that those things are bad, but then in the heart, would you just help us just to listen to Jesus in that, just to walk with him, just to be our God? If we even need to picture that as being out in the remote wilderness and having a God that is trustworthy and true and will not let us down and will lead us in the best ways. If we need to picture that, God, help us to remember that tomorrow. Lead us, guide us. God, we love you. We thank you for inviting us into this epic story. We thank you for Jesus, your grace and mercy that is on the cross. And we thank you again today. The Sunday after Easter, we still praise you that there is an empty tomb. We love you and we praise you, King Jesus. Amen.